Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my lovely co-host, Squirrel Rourke. Squirrel, hi, honey.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everyone. I hope everyone's doing well tonight.
Yes, I do, too. Okay, remember tonight, and the team really does look forward to your questions, so you can email them in during the show, and Squirrel, if you'll give your email address. Squirrel? Okay, we just lost Squirrel again. Okay, you can email them in to squirrel@wyom.net. And that's squirrel@wyom.net. Tonight's show, Processing, Cornerstone to Changing Beliefs and Your Life. Okay. What more steps? Are you kidding me? No. How do I process and what do I process? Your emotions. Real transformation happens in your heart first. Where did a negative belief come from? What was the experience, drama, trauma that created the belief? It came from somewhere. An essential part of changing your beliefs in your life requires introspection and processing. If your child, adolescent, young adult aren't on board with the new belief, it's not going to happen. Or perhaps a little, but not with the true elegance and shift you'd hoped for. So tonight we're going to talk about how to really process, getting to the emotions, is so important, and you'll feel the click that allow the belief to truly change. And Squirrel, do we have you back on?
Thank you.
Squirrel, are you there?
I'm back.
Okay, would you like
to do
the astrology, honey?
How much did I miss astrology? I'm sorry, I just called back in. So,
okay.
Yes, astrology has been kind of wicked lately with chatty Mercury in Gemini, but that's going to be changing. And this little bit comes from Eric Francis at Planet Waves. And he says, the astrology is arranged in layers at the moment. What seems to be the issue, what is the deeper underlying material, probably from the distant past and how you feel about it, is happening now. If you remember this, it might be easier to navigate whatever in the real world, in quotes, is manifesting in parallel to this astrology. I suggest you not pry underneath the surface or look for the cause as if it were a specific thing, but rather take a circumspect approach, approaching from the edge. Rather than seeking the bottom line, notice what you notice. When you speak, listen to what you say. This week will begin a series of planetary sign changes. Here is the executive summary. Mercury goes into Cancer, which will immerse the mind in a world of feelings, and Mars goes into Gemini, which could be contentious. To sum this up in a phrase, feel before you speak. It's always good. I know, it's always good advice, is it not?
Yeah, well, no, I've already been experiencing this. Maybe I'm just ahead of the astrology.
You're always a few steps ahead of everything, Jackie.
I don't know. But the feel before you speak is wonderful advice, everyone.
That or a muzzle, you know?
Well, no, I just feel that people are more sensitive than ever because there's so much change going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a culture, we tend to speak without thinking. And I've become really aware since moving back to Hollister that there's a lot of power in my voice. This comes from the work I do and the way they've got my throat wired. So I have to be very, very careful about what I say to people. Because it can cut. And so I'm really practicing, you know, feeling before I speak. And even if I don't be, you know, I'm a problem solver. Therefore, you know, I just look at everything from the perspective of, you know, do this, do that, do this. That doesn't make
right.
You incredibly popular with your friends. Okay. So, moving on. This is an excerpt from Debbie Ford newsletter. And this really hit me this week. Debbie, of course, has crossed over, and one of her people that was a trainer has taken over doing the newsletter. She's doing a beautiful job. In our culture, many people are disconnected from their emotions. They've trained themselves not to feel them, or they've learned to make certain emotions wrong. We even think that part of being a good or supportive friend is to help our friends look on the bright side of life or to fix the painful situations in their lives. But we cannot heal what we cannot feel. And this was so in alignment with tonight's show, I just thought it was really important. We cannot heal what we cannot feel. Instead of being unwanted annoyances, our emotions are invaluable messengers here to educate us, inform us, and guide us to the evolution of our soul. They come bearing gifts, and to receive these gifts, we must develop a new relationship with our emotional world. And this really segues into the whole concept of processing beliefs, and I've had some real interesting experiences of late, and so I'm going to share as much as I can tonight, some of the firsthand stuff, so I can help people as much as possible if you're working on beliefs, which I hope everybody is, because beliefs are loaded with emotions. And if you're trying to change beliefs from your head and miss the emotions associated with them, you're missing a really big part of the process. For some of you, changing beliefs will be the biggest and most intense work you ever do. It certainly has been for me. Yeah, I was skipping right along.
It's a full-time job, huh?
Oh, yeah. It you know what? It actually has been. It's been fascinating to me. Some beliefs have been relatively easy, and others, well, I continue to see that my processing has to go deeper. How do I know? Well, mainly by my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, and in my case, even my dream state is speaking to me, so I'm which I appreciate the help from all levels. you may find areas that are loaded for you. It may be beliefs about men or women, yourself, your health, aging. It just depends on what is really weighted in for you in this lifetime or at this timing. And this was really interesting. This week, someone was changing their beliefs about their abduction experiences. And lots of fear came up. And when she went to work with her child and adolescent, they were totally resistant. And this can happen. Now, again, you know, I was in channels. So we talked about this after, but, you know, I'm so altered. I believe that the team talked to her about whether her child and adolescent trusted her and did they have confidence in her. And it was something about building trust with her so they could let go of the fear and trauma. Child, adolescent, young adult, and in my case, which I'll talk about later, actually had to go back to a different part of my lifetime. I've had people tell me that they've had physical experiences of discomfort after changing beliefs. Have you encountered that, Squirrel?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like my body, you know, has just been through the ringer. And I don't know if that, maybe that's a good thing, but it's kind of like, you know, it's like you're getting, things are just kind of pressing out, but it's tired a lot, just achy, whether it's headaches or joint aches or back aches or, you know, pain in the butt aches. I don't know. Everything seems to ache when these beliefs are moving through.
Oh, good. Well, no, I don't want you to suffer, honey. But I do appreciate
Jackie. I really appreciate your support.
Okay, so what areas do they seem to really be the hardest, most difficult to change, let's put it that way, or where you experience the most physical response?
You mean in my body? Is that what you're saying? Asking?
Yes, yes.
I would say it's been just an overall ache. I would say joint pain, whether it's back aches, hip, knees, feet, neck, you know, it's just sort of that malaise feeling. You almost think you're having the flu, but you don't really, you know?
Well, and you tend to, when you're in process, you tend to go to that place.
I do, and then I
sleep it out. I've got Louise Hay's book here, You Can Heal Your Life, and she says, joints represent changes in direction in life and the ease of these movements. So, just a heads up, that may be an indication of a little bit of resistance to some of it.
Thank you, Louise. I will keep that in mind, of course. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, well, okay. What about you?
Changes in direction. How interesting is that?
Yeah.
About
me?
I've actually had the same thing. Mine, as I said before, was parked in my right shoulder, right arm, right breast, and this was all stuff around men, one in particular. actually, several, but primarily. And for me, it took actually days for it to readjust. It was very, very painful. And, you know, this goes back to our beliefs are lodged in ourselves. And this is, you know, we know that emotions are there. Emotions are connected to beliefs. We're going to hit it in our physical body in most cases.
Right.
Now, you know, God, and I think some of us are just more stubborn than others, and I will sit there with you, honey. As we go through this, you'll see where I really ran into it. We were working with someone with their beliefs, and they sent over a copy of the original beliefs and their new beliefs. And when the team reworded one of their beliefs, they experienced excitement in their bodies together with joy and expectation. So here's the counter to all of this. Why? Because the team changed the wording to something that was more in alignment with what this person truly wanted, but didn't even realize was not only her true desire, but her expectations were so low, it didn't even occur to her.
Wow.
This is a big one, and I this was really fascinating. And so the team just kept changing the wording until it clicked for her, and when it clicked, it was amazing. Really amazing. And, you know, I'm still processing my own beliefs. And I'm personally amazed at how much of a charge some of them have and how others are much easier to process and change. And, you know, the why is pretty simple. The ones that are difficult are loaded emotionally. And in my case, I have several beliefs about someone that are so deeply ingrained, lowered far deeper than I realized, that it's been weeks of processing. And when I first changed the belief, I got nauseous. I had to get up and move around. I literally got heady, and I was thinking, oh, my God. And then today, you know, I went in with a group of beliefs, blah, 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 you know, to work with God and Goddess, etc. And I kind of got sent back with these particular beliefs. Obviously, they decided I hadn't gone far enough. So I realized that I changed a few beliefs around this person But I really, here we go with the subconscious belief, I didn't really believe they were possible. And the question, of course, was why? And this is the one that threw me for a loop. So I sat with it. Oh, Lord. Actually, I've been sitting with it for weeks, asking why I was so challenged. And then finally it came to me that I was the stubborn one and that the belief that I didn't change was that this person could change. In other words, I changed this belief, that belief, and all of this other stuff, but I never changed the belief that they were capable of being different. And this was really, and I went, what? Now, I know this stuff. I know I'm going to align with a different version of him. But it was the could in this instance that I never dealt with. I carried the belief that he was so staunchly who he was that he couldn't change. And that's the one I had never gotten to. And when I got that one, it was such a huge click. So here I was. Not only did I have to work with my child, adolescent, and the version of me, when the damage started with this person, I had to go back. I still haven't done that. I have to go back to her, give her what she wanted. This is something Bonnie told me a long time ago, and I didn't do, being the resistant person that I am. I had to forgive him, forgive myself, okay, and remember that I can connect with a different version of this person and realize that I was attracting the very thing I didn't want to attract from this person. And it was all belief generated, every bit of it. So again, some emotion, some beliefs are going to be so loaded with emotion.
I'm going to have a question. Just for clarity, when you said you didn't change, but that the person could change, or had changed from the time that you remember, or what were you saying about
could change today?
Okay.
Now, you're not really changing that person. You're aligning with a different version of them. But
okay. Even
that possibility, okay, the door wasn't open because there was resistance in me. I was so locked into them and what they did. And I know this will resonate for you, Squirrel, and who they are. Okay, or who I believed that they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to take responsibility that this is co-creative, that I was co-creating this experience through my own beliefs of this person being a pain to me. But was he a pain to me because he was always a pain, or was he a pain to me because I had beliefs that he was going to be? And these are beliefs about men in general and so on and so forth, but this person happened to be my barometer, okay, on the planet. He is my barometer. If I'm off a hair, it's going to come back at me like crazy. So, and it has always been, from the moment I met them, my barometer. So processing is really deep work, and your child and adolescent have to be on board, or you won't get the results that you desire. I don't care what you do, okay? If you have a resistant or angry child and or adolescent, you will not see and experience the desired results because you don't have them on board. And I think we forget sometimes how much our child and adolescent can run the show. I mean, I just went through this. Okay, realizing, a month ago, that my adolescent was running my personal life. I was like, what?
No, I so agree. I mean, it's so easy to see somebody who's, you go, come on, grow up, you're acting like a baby. And we see it in others, but I think it's more difficult to market in ourselves, and I think that's a great point you're making.
It's imperative because our damage, okay, childhood and adolescent, young adult damage is so, you know, this is generally where all this stuff originates from. That's why they have to be on board. Mm-hmm. Forgiving yourself and the other, if there is another, is imperative. Okay. You know, again, you know, Bonnie has so much in her book, but I really thought it was important tonight to go through these things and kind of talk about some of these examples so that people can kind of look at their own process. How would your life be different with the belief changed? And one person, dear Elizabeth, sent over her beliefs with a whole dialogue. My life would be different this way for each belief she changed. And it was really very powerful. Or she actually grouped them together and said, okay, if I change these beliefs, this is how my life is going to be different. I'll experience this and this and this. And it also helps with flowing energy because you're flowing it in the direction of what you expect to experience as a result of the change belief. Another way, you know, for you to find out that you haven't done all your processing necessary is you won't see the desired changes. So you're back to the drawing board. But don't get disappointed. Whatever you do, don't get disappointed. This is a process. And the more you do it, the more clarity you'll have, the more in touch you'll be with yourself, with your child, your adolescent, your young adult, or whoever. You know, in the case of this person, I had to go back to the 47-year-old woman who experienced all of this devastation and disappointment and work with her. That was really big because she was the one that's been so resistant and that's so damn angry. Oh, and as Bonnie said, I had to give her what it was she really wanted, which was the life she wanted with another version of this person living happily ever after.
So you're saying sometimes you have to work with another area of an adult, not just a child, the adolescent, young adult.
Yes, in my case,
that was it.
Yes, this was the adult that had a lot of trauma, and I had to work with her. I mean, she actually died, okay, as a result of all of this. So that was pretty big. And, you know, being the drama queen I am, not really. I don't own that anymore.
Really.
But it was a pretty, this is a many lifetime relationship. So when you ask yourself why you believe something, why the old belief, what's under the belief, and what are the emotions around the belief, okay, you can't change just with your head. You do need to go deeper, I think, okay? Some beliefs are easy, I have found, because they're not loaded, which I thought they would be. I actually found them very easy to change, some beliefs. Beliefs about myself were actually pretty doggone easy. It's when I got into my bugaboo was around men. For some men, it may be around women, okay? And if you're working on beliefs about abundance, and this is a big one, what are your beliefs about money in general? And were you taught by your parents that you don't deserve money, that it doesn't grow on trees, that you have to work really hard to get it, and all the things that good parents try to instill in their children to make them responsible? Or perhaps your religion. you know, this one, which sits in the collective as well, is that money is the root of all evil. Well, if you hold that belief at any level, for crying out loud, change that belief.
That's pretty limiting. No doubt.
Well, if you have a lot of judgment about people who have money, all right, and you're working on beliefs around abundance, you better look at why you judge people who have money. And I, you know, I'll hear different people talk about so-and-so who has money or so-and-so who has money, and I think to myself, oh, my God, they're going to have a hard time creating and manifesting what it is they truly want because they've got judgments on it. And if you're judging somebody else about it, you better really think about that instead of being happy for people when they create money and really excited when they create great relationships. Because somewhere in there, you got either a child and an adolescent, a young adult that's pissed, or perhaps somewhere else in your life. And you need to go back and change that as well. Work with them. Don't be afraid to feel the emotions and to process them. And this is the sweet spot, the place where you will experience a beautiful aha. You'll know when you've hit the resistance, and then changing with a belief will be easier than you could ever have imagined. But you will know that you've processed it. You've really worked on it. It's not saying that you have to work hard to do something. It's saying don't leave any stones unturned if you have some resistance. And I, having experienced this myself, I was just amazed that I was the stubborn one. And, you know, I don't think this person is bad at all. I've just watched that my beliefs around this person have twisted it every single time. It starts out wonderful, and then it twists. And, you know, it's easy to blame the other person, but I had to look at me. What are my beliefs? Okay, why do I keep ending up with the same outcome over and over again with the same person? It wasn't them, it was me. where's your bugaboo been, Squirrel, if you're willing to share?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I certainly have the ones you've talked about with men. And I think that I'm resistant. I mean, I think I could, you know, that could be my middle name. But, you know, sometimes I feel like I don't process the beliefs. I just try to ignore that it's happening, and the ignoring part doesn't really work. I mean, for example, when you talked about people that, not really, the blinders are on, people that have judgments about people that have a lot of money, for instance. And I live in a very wealthy community. Now, some people that have money are very gracious and sort of unassuming, but some have a, you know, entitlement attitude. I get the best restaurant table. You know, people wait on them hand and foot. Oh, you know, let me help you because, geez, by the way, you have a ski area. It happens in a community. So I don't know what you would say about that. I mean, maybe I'm judging, but it really isn't about based on the amount of money a person has. It's about how they behave because they may have money, whether they behave civilly or and graciously or with an attitude that I'm better than you because. Now, I don't know what you would say about that. I try to ignore the latter, but it does keep coming.
All right. What do you think I'm going to say?
It's a belief I have, of course.
There you go.
Right, that I am not as deserving because I don't have the kind of money they have. You're not going to say
no.
Okay, go ahead.
The belief is that people with money can be entitled and arrogant and rude or whatever words you want to use. when you change that belief, after you process that belief and change it, and do work with your child and adolescent and young adult, after you change the belief and deal with the emotion around it, because you have a lot of then you're only going to experience people who are gracious.
You won't
keep seeing it reflected. What's happening is it's coming at you.
Right.
The belief is coming at you that people...
You saw what that newspaper article I sent to you. There it was, you know.
Yes, another case of that. But if, you know, and here's what's interesting. When that article came out, and this is an article about somebody she knows well.
Yes.
As it relates to a money suit. And that article wouldn't have had the, you know, there's this little part of you that goes,
really?
Finally
a seizure. Yeah, I know. A full-on seizure, right? I know. Emotional seizure.
Yes, I know. And so, again, it's all us. We're really all one. It's our universe, our individual one universe. We're experiencing, each one of us, our own world and universe, which means we're the creator of it, which means we're the only one that can change it.
I agree. And my attitude of ignoring really doesn't work. I'm just going to throw that out there for everybody. don't do it. It doesn't work. It always comes back.
The more responsibility you take for your experiences, the greater your life will be. Because ultimately, when you take responsibility, the ability to respond, as Lazara says, you have the ability to respond to anything and everything. It's how you do it and how willing you are to respond to every experience as a reflection somewhere of something going on within you.
I agree.
And being conscious of it. And it's a toughie. Believe me, it's a toughie. I had something happen tonight, and I thought, oh, crap, another belief I've got to change.
Well, I believe had right now you need to go in the channel, because...
Channel,
I don't
okay, got it.
Okay.
All right. All right, welcome everyone. Oh, we're working on beliefs again and on processing and programming. Those beliefs are processing the beliefs, sorry. Processing beliefs. How you got there, why you got there, why you believe it. And all the emotions around it. Now, this is where it gets exciting and juicy, everyone. All right, this is where you really are going to have some fun. Now, you may not think it's fun at the moment, but as you walk through it and realize that you can change it, that even the most resistant old beliefs can be changed. That you are the creator of your reality. You really are. It will give you more courage to go further, to be diligent, to be watchful about your thoughts, about your feelings. Oh, wait a minute, there's another belief. I didn't even realize that I held that belief. And if you have judgment, not discernment, there's a difference, but if you're carrying judgments about things, there are underlying beliefs that always, always, always need to be changed. Every one of you are capable of creating an extraordinary life filled with joy and happiness and health and love. Safety. Oh, there are all kinds of areas in there that, you know, if you review your life experience, you know, where did this belief come? Oh, geez, I was 5 and the kids made fun of me. And I decided I was stupid or I wasn't enough or I was flawed or whatever the belief may be, or I was ugly, or I was fat. We know one person who was heavy in her childhood and going into adolescence. And this person is now in her 70s and still sees a fat person in the mirror. Now, she's so thin that there's barely any fat on her at all, even enough to sustain her body. That's how deep these beliefs can be. All right. So an instant like that, who do you go back and work with? You work with that child. To help that child. All right. If you're changing a belief about not being smart enough, tall enough, thin enough, fat enough, whatever. All right. Squirrel, you've got some questions tonight.
I do have some questions. This one comes from Vicky. And she asks, would you be willing to take a moment and explain the difference between contracts and beliefs? Or is there a difference? While processing my amazing adolescent self, she has absolutes. For example, she says, I will never amount to anything or I will always fail. I remember listening to Lazarus speaking of contracts of the adolescent, that the adolescent makes, and using the words never and always. Is it the beliefs that are turned into contracts that bring the cords? By clearing the beliefs, does it also clear the contracts and the cords? Anyway, she says, filled with my gratitude and joy, my heart to your heart, Vicky.
Oh, Vicky, that's a wonderful question. Yes, especially the adolescent, because adolescents are filled with absolutes, always. You always know when the adolescent is running your life, because you'll find yourself saying things like never, always. Now, what we'll do here, Vicky, is are they the same? No, they're not the same. They're fueled by the belief. So when you run into this, And all of you have the potential to run on into this with, especially your adolescent. We'll go further in a moment. But when you run into it, what you need to do is go back and meet with your adolescent and say, look, this is a contract you made years ago, all right? You made this contract. Now, that contract is holding me hostage because I still believe it. And if you are willing to break this contract, to tear up the contract, to have the contract in your hand, I will never, I always, whatever it may be, may take a little bit of talking, but you need to show them how different life will be, how wonderful it can be. And they will listen. Be very descriptive. Paint pictures for them with words. Love them. Talk to them about their feelings, where they got the belief and why. Again, give them a different reality. All right, you can do that. And Vicki, we've talked about that during session, giving them an extraordinary life, all right? Take them to meet their new parents, if this is what they're wanting in their beautiful home, and perhaps the horses and the Christmas and all the things they didn't have. But have them tear up the contract or burn it, whichever you prefer. All right, I'll give you all, now tear up this contract. Can we do that now? All right, you may have to bargain. Contracts can come about, especially for children, from childhood through adolescence, as they see things happen with parents. I will never be like my mom or dad because they do this or do that. And they may push away ultimately something that is part of their whole developmental structure. Those go deep. That's why they're called contracts. They can go in, especially for children, you know, when you're young, the subconscious will open up. Therapists even know about this. When they hit something and it's highly emotional, that's it. I'm never going to believe in God. I'll never trust Daddy. I'll never trust Mommy. And then they live with the results of that contract as it goes right in. And that window closes. And even therapists can't get to it. It's locked into the subconscious. You can get to it by looking at the behavior, by interacting with your child and adolescent and young adult. And Vicki, congratulations that you got to it. All right. This is big work, all right? Big work. Many of you got terribly damaged in childhood and adolescence. And there are many different ways of helping re-scripting the experience. If you're child or adolescent has a number of experiences. Sometimes it's difficult to re-script them all, but if necessary, do it, which means you go back and to that moment as the adult and you intercede when Dad was going to beat her bloody hell.
the adolescent was going to get raped or have an experience of incest of some time and change the outcome. That's re-scripting. Giving your child and adolescent the life that they love is imperative in this work. If they're set with the right parents, all right, and the child and adolescent won't necessarily want the same life. The channel ran into this. And she was talking to Bonnie, and she said, you know, I put them over here, and they were happy, but now they won't stay, and I just don't know what to do. And Bonnie said, well, my child didn't want to be with earthly parents. And the channel went, oh, I know exactly where to put her. She said, on the other hand, my adolescent wanted to be a model. She wanted to live with wealthy parents and have this and that and the other thing. So she went to the right parents for that experience and has all the opportunities. And give them what they would prefer. When you have them settled down and they're happy, then you could go in and really negotiate with them in a whole different way. Okay, sure, you want no problem, all right. Not nearly as difficult. Not nearly as difficult. But this is part of the work that you all need to do. Now, somebody has written in before about they can't hear their child in adolescence. But they can feel them. You can all feel them. If you can't hear, then feel. Go back yourself to that time. What did you want? What did you really want? And then give it to your child or your adolescent. Don't get caught up. All right? And the semantics here. Work around it. Be creative. That's what you're here to do. All right, Vicki, we love you. Thank you so much for a wonderful question. All right, Squirrel.
And this question actually comes from the channel. This is great. How do we change our beliefs about someone else and experience them differently?
All right. Well, we thank the channel for this. This is a good one. She could have probably answered it, but it's better that we do. We'll expand a little differently. When you change a belief about someone, you're going to experience a different version of them. The reason that she wrote the question was that she has a dear friend, and again, her dear friend has an issue with a family member. And she said, well, you need to change the beliefs about this person. And her dear friend said, well, you can't change them. So the channel thought about it and thought, well, this is not the time to get into this discussion with her dear friend, because she values the friendship too much, and why argue over something that she wasn't really ready to deal with, and that's fine too. When you change your belief about someone, here's the foundation. There are an infinite number of versions of Earth, every person, every experience, etc. You can align with a version and will align with a version based on the beliefs you have about that person. This is the reason the channel was so challenged with changing beliefs about a specific person until she realized she didn't believe the person could change. Well, he's not going to change. He's going to align with a different version. But she was holding out. You see, there was this stubbornness. It was she who was stubborn, and she got it. Now, you change your belief. You're going to experience them differently. Now, that's pretty powerful when you think about it. Now, for some of you, it's uncomfortable because you like to think that everything is solid and real and, you know, this person is this way and he thinks this way or she thinks that way and that's it. And they're wrong or they're stubborn or they're this or they're that. But turning that around and saying, wait a minute, I have to change my beliefs about all those things. I don't get to hold that in my pocket and be able to say, you know, Mary or Harry are stubborn or this or that anymore. Now, if you're attached to the story of all the complaints you have about someone, it's going to be difficult to change the beliefs. Because if you experience a wonderful part of them, a totally different version of them, your story's going to have to change. Now that's a glitch. An interesting glitch, but one you need to look at. You have to be willing to give up the story. And for many of you, you're attached to the story. My sister, my mom, my brother, my father, my lover, my friend, my child, my... Are you ready, you see, to have the life that you prefer? Are you ready? Are you really ready to give up the stories and the complaints and the anger and the blame that you've carried for a very long time about many of these people? What's the trade-off? A happy life versus having a good story and something to complain about? Well, we would hope for your sake that your choice is to have a wonderful life. But again, you have to give up the story. You have to give up your victimhood. Ooh. Ooh. Okay. Have to think about that one. Now, nobody wants to believe they're a victim or a martyr or whatever. Some of you get a lot of mileage out of your stories. Even if you don't tell other people, you tell them to yourself. Remember that one. It's so important, everyone. Yes, you will align with a different version, a parallel version of that person. If you've done your process, really done it. If you've got your child and adolescent really on board, and you're willing to give up the old story. All right, Squirrel, do you think that answered it sufficiently?
Oh, I thought it was a great answer. And, you know, you brought into something that about the story. You know, I mean, would it work to start just creating a new story? One that you really, really like, just to start having that in the background?
Well, of course, and that's something that Elizabeth did. That's why she wrote about the beliefs that she changed. This is how my life is going to be different. That's another piece, you see. If I change these beliefs, she had several grouped. if I change these beliefs, my life is going to look like this. Now, she was ready for that and flowing energy to that. She had created her new story. You see, her positive story, her positive experiences. This is how my life's going to look. And it was powerful. And for some of you, you may need to go there and do that very thing. Actually imagine, how is my life going to be different? For some of you, you can imagine it, you're fine. For many of you, in fact, we'd say probably for most, because you're so far down the path now, writing it out gives it a whole new vibration and frequency. Ooh, I have something to look forward to. I'm going to flow energy to this belief for this wonderful expanded outcome, or greater, or more, with harm to none. How exciting. And Squirrel will give you an example. With men, I don't attract men. I'm not attracted to men. They bore me, and no click, no this, no that, whatever your story may be. Okay? I attract wonderful, interesting, intelligent, prosperous, loving men. You can expand that any way you want. How is your life going to look different? Woohoo. That's a big one. Because the only person that's holding you back from having these experiences is you. It's your universe. Remember that. Your director, producer, the actor, the screenwriter, you're all of it. Could you do that?
I totally can do that. And right now, I think, and I appreciate that as always, we're going to have to wrap up. Last week we went over, and I don't think you got to hear your final comments, which I regret.
All right. All right. Thank you, dear Squirrel. We'd love to work with all of you tonight in the dream time, so if you're willing to call us in. When you do, we would recommend that you identify a specific place that you'd like some assistance. All right? Where is your bugaboo? Where is your real bugaboo? Health? Love? Abundance? What is it? All right? And remember, money is not the answer to everything, but whatever, we're not judging it, so don't misunderstand that statement. Pick something. And let us work with you in the dream time. Now, over the next week or two, things may come to you that you did not expect. Out of the blue. Thoughts, feelings, things on the computer, whatever, that will trigger deeply around these issues. Write them down. Write them down. You may not wake up with it, but it will come in, we promise you. Your unseen friends and all of us are working diligently to assist you on these amazing levels of transformation. Know that we love all of you so very much. Squirrel, as always, we love you, dear one.
I love you too. Thanks so much.
All right. And until we speak with you again in this format, Namaste.
Namaste.